Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, Mike Vrabel is up at the podium, so we will send it over to him now.
Just have to, you know, find a way to continue to use that as a weapon. And not jump off sides and make it harder for ourselves than what, you know, this game already is.
Jalen held up first start.
Well, I think it was okay. I mean, I think that there were some good snaps. I think early, you know, got powered and needs to replace his hands. And, you know, he settled down and, you know, I thought it did a nice job and had some good snaps. I think that he was conscious, you know, as we look at, you know, Derek maybe cutting back and a guy breaking the framework of his body and Jalen letting him go and not just, you know, tugging him right there at the point of attack is something that we try to talk to those guys about where, you know, the offensive lineman may not know, they don't know where the running back is and, you know, they're just trying to block him and stay square and get some movement. And then as the back decides to, you know, to make his cut wherever they're going, that sometimes these guys shed and you find a guy that, you know, there's some restriction at the point of attack. And I saw that Jalen, you know, let the guy go and Derek was able to get the corner and gain, you know, 12 or 15 yards. Would have liked to have had a better block on the throw to Chig, you know, but Will made a great throw with pressure and Chig helped Will out. So that's kind of how it goes sometimes. But I thought it was okay for his first extended, you know, action.
About how much of the time did you leave him single blocked in one-on-one situations yesterday, especially in pass pro?
I mean, it just a lot of that is, based on, you know, the third down distance protection. You know, I don't have a certain percentage. You know, it's based on, you know, formation and, you know, some of the first and second down stuff. And, you know, there were some good pockets, you know, on some of the first and second down stuff, which, you know, maybe a few weeks earlier that had been, you know, where some of the breakdown had occurred on some of our play action game, you know, but there were some good pockets that we were able to throw the football from. And then there were some, you know, early on that, I mean, the third down, they brought five guys and Will didn't have much time to do much.
Story wise, you guys are at home 24 points, on the road is like 11. Is there anything that you could put your finger on to say, like, why it's so different offensively?
I don't want to sit here and say that we've played good defenses, but I know that, you know, that's probably part of it. We have, I think, played good defenses. You look at the, you know, where the Saints were week one, and, you know, I felt like that was a good defense. And, you know, Pittsburgh on the road, you know, see the type of defense that they play, and that's probably – you know, being realistic. You know, we know that we have to be better. Right now we're focused on, you know, being better at home because that's where our next game is. And then, you know, attacking those things and just the details and just how critical just a few things are when you're on the road and the noise and, you know, getting off on the snap count and all those different things that attribute to that. But right now our focus is, you know, preparing to win a division game at home.
That energy from the crowd that you guys experience?
Yeah, I mean, when we play hard and we play well and we play complimentary, I mean, I thought that there was, you know, great energy. And I thought our, you know, defensively, the thing, you know, probably the most proud of and excited about was, you know, that we gave up some plays or we gave up a third down penalty or conversion or quarterback scramble and it came back and there was a long drive that had penalties on it that we held him to a field goal and then responded after the second half scoring drive and then kind of kept battling. We got the turnover and, you know, some really good opportunities and cool things in there. We just try to put it together for 60 minutes.
Martin was talking about how meaningful it was for him to see Will break it down in the huddle before the game. When you see that or some of the other steps Will's taken to be a leader as a rookie, just what does it mean to you to see him take those steps?
Well, I mean, we all know how important the quarterback position is in this league and in football. And, you know, part of that is, you know, performance-based. But I think there's a leadership element to it that that has to go on, that the, you know, everybody has to see that that player's invested and that player's, you know, performing and cares, you know, as much, if not more, than everybody else.
Jeffrey chases Bryce Young from sideline to sideline and then stays on the field to rush the passer, you know, the very next play. Is that something you show as kind of a teaching moment for your team, what the effort is all about?
That's going to be, you know, I mean, that's one of them. You know, those examples are, you know, there's quite a few of them, you know, and I think that, you know, it was, every week is a challenge, and Bryce did a nice job. I thought, you know, we factored in the middle of the pocket yesterday, and, you know, we'll have to continue to try to contain those, you know, those quarterbacks that can scramble. But, you know, Jeffrey works hard at his conditioning. He works hard to play a lot of snaps for us and to help us impact the game.
What's coaching, teaching been like with Chig, I guess, throughout the season as he's kind of tried to develop consistency, and how much you hope, you know, yesterday is of maybe gives him a little bit of confidence to keep playing well?
Well, I love, you know, I mean, I love Chig's energy, love what he can do. I've continued to find ways to, you know, to get him the ball and some of the details, and he did a very nice job of slipping out of there yesterday. He was, you know, good on the check down, getting out of bounds, knowing that, you know, how he needed to get out of bounds, you know, got in there and did a nice job on a seal block. We just couldn't get the safety, and, you know, so he's, again, fantastic to work with, fun to work with, and, you know, we'll continue to find ways to have him help us in the run game and in the pass game.
To go for it on the early fourth down there, and maybe that first drive in general, how important was it to kind of overcome a few different obstacles there on that drive, like a second drive?
Yeah, I thought it was, you know, just felt good about the call. Wanted to try to get it off the call sheet. Been on there for a little bit, so, yeah, just felt like we needed to get going and needed a spark there, and, you know, guys converted, and then, you know, we're able to, like you said, go on and lead that to points. That's the most important thing, whether you fake a punt or you go for it on fourth down and you convert it. You know, you gotta finish it off.
Tajay, in the last month, 3.5 yards a carry, 5.4 a catch. You kind of assess where he is right now as compared to where he's been when he's kind of brought more explosive play.
Yeah, I think that's just probably based on opportunity. We got to, you know, continue to find ways to get him some opportunities. I mean, you know, it's 3rd and 12 late in the game. We could try to flip a screen out to him. Just, you know, take care of the football. And, you know, 3rd and 5, we're going to try to win the game. I think 3rd and 12, you're just trying to make sure that, you know, somebody doesn't, you know. So, again, I think a lot of that's opportunity. So, I'm, you know, break the tackle there on the corner and get some yards, and yeah, and we just, I think it's just about opportunity.
Anybody tell him to get down, take a knee on that spike at the end of the half, or is that just is that how he's coached, or is that his instincts just to kind of
take just stop, you know what I mean? You're going to be out, you're going to be off the line of scrimmage, and, you know, save your legs and not worry about running down there. You're legal, just, you know, it kind of. Again, I thought that was very well executed. I'm, you know, excited that we were able to put that on tape, and for everybody, for the defense to get a stop, for us to go down there offensively and get the ball out of bounds, and then, you know, they called timeout, changed the defense. You know, we were able to get Nick down to the 35. Everybody was running. Brew got the ball, got the spot. You know, Tajay just figured might as well just stop and be legal and not worry about anything else. So, I thought that was a very impressive play.
Mike, there's nothing better than game reps for rookies. How do you feel like Will's done so far through 5 weeks in regards to taking what he learned from one Sunday into the following week?
Well, I think he continues to improve. I think there's some snaps. I think we, you know, decisions and being able to see some things that come open or pop. And but I felt like, you know, I mean, early in the game, pretty efficient, and, you know, got the ball out of his hand and, you know, found some matchups that he liked. I thought that, you know, got us going early there with Hop and, you know, the patience there to wait him out and the accuracy. just making sure that we're not putting the ball in harm's way. You know, a couple of layered throws. I'd like to see a better, better football to Tajay. You know, we can't leave that much air underneath it and put him in harm and put the ball in harm.
About complimentary football, Ryan Stone has set an NFL record last year, but has he been consistently better this year with where he places the ball and specifically kind of a short yardage inside the 10?
I think his ability to mix it up. I think he's worked on more pitches, some different pitches, high with some spin, hook, directional, and then when he's got to, bring a driver out and bang it, he's got that still in his bag. So, I thought special teams was a little closer to what we expect. It wasn't perfect. That was a good unit. They were averaging 34 yards a kickoff return. We know late in the season the ball is going to be in play. So that was something that was a focal point. We were pretty good on our punt coverage. I was excited about the return that we had. Unfortunately, AK just got a little obviously supposed to stay on that, upfield shoulder, and the guy 42 kind of crossed his face and we tugged him, but it would have been cool to have that return. We thought we had a little bit more space. We had the one kickoff return, but the other one we just weren't quite good enough. I thought special teams wise that was more along the lines of what we were looking like covering kickoffs for most of the day.
Had five penalties in the secondary yesterday. Were you seeing common threads? Is it more of a technique thing that you're seeing, or how do you evaluate that?
I mean, you can't grab the guy at the top of the route and grab him. There was some good examples of guys being square. But you also, you can't grab them and, whether we think they are or not, they see it, Thought probably one out of those were probably – I disagreed with, but that's how it goes.
Fulton one?
What's that?
Was that the Fulton one?
No, probably the one SMB one on Thielen, but two-step process. I don't know if he looked back and saw the ball get thrown over here. I'm not sure.
You guys can take care of
which the Fulton one? No, he tackled. He was bear-hugging the tight end.
If you can take care of business with the Colts this weekend, do you feel like that gets you back in the fight, or is it still too early to say that?
Yeah, we're looking to fight every week. I think for us to look that far in advance we got to focus on this week. We got to focus on health here, recovery, improvement, these little details, these techniques that I know that we can be better at, that we have to.
You feel like you can put the same offensive line on the field for 2 weeks in a row after this week? And how much of an advancement is that for you guys to be able to do that?
Again, I haven't met with Todd. I just, guys, going for different tests, seeing the doctors, and we'll have eight guys ready to go, ready to execute the game plan, and we'll see where that is, moving forward.
You regularly compliment DeNico. Mm-hmm. Impressed how he just continues to just
show a lot of pride. I got a lot of respect for DeNico. I just, his ascension from a college player to undrafted and, going to Indy and then coming here and really maintaining that level of performance. Got a lot of respect for him. It means a lot to him. So enjoy coaching him, enjoy being around him, and, certainly factored yesterday was a large part of our, performance.
Inside linebacker rotation there with Gibbons and Rice. How's that? Is that predetermined which guys are going to play which series, or is it just kind of a feel thing as you go through the game?
I think it's tried to be predetermined and give them, a couple series each half, whether that be for Gibby or Aziz, and kind of rotate through and, then kind of see where it goes.
I don't know what the word is. Frustrating. The first three drives, second half, you start off with kind of a big chunk play and weren't able to capitalize on it. Frustrating, disappointing, I guess, there.
Yeah, we just have to, some of them are penalties. Some of them are just mistakes or, whether we, don't get a guy blocked or, that's what's frustrating. You hit a 20-some-yard gain, hit a 15-yarder, and then – third and three false start, or just, you know, don't have very effective plays following that up. Like, it's got to be okay, on to the next one. Let's get into a drive. Let's get into a rhythm. Great drive starter. And then just not stall.
Worry about 1 week at a time, but how much can you point to, I guess, last year, and how much the division changed from this point kind of on to show your guys that there is still a lot of football in front of you and a lot of things that can change?
Yeah, I think there's probably some of that, you know, but we also got to sit there and you got to ride, you know, I mean, we got to ride our horse and we got to stay focused on us and just winning. And then that kind of takes care of everything else. And the motivation should be high to win and continue to improve.
Talk to Frank much yesterday, and I know you probably hate any time a head coach loses a job, but just kind of an example of, so need to win in this league to keep your job?
Yeah, I talked to Frank. You know, I've known Frank for a few years, got a lot of respect for him. You know, I think every situation is different. I don't know, you know, why the decision was made. They made a decision, but you know, a lot of respect for Frank, who he is as a person, and you know, who he is as a football coach. And, you know, it's, yeah, we know what we signed up for.
Middle Tennessee moved on from Rick Stockstill today after 18 years. I know he's been around here a bunch with KBs. Is he a guy you got to know well at all?
Just a little bit, you know, just those coaches around the area, you know, that come for OTAs and, you know, visit with us, and you know, it's made a quite of impact here in Middle Tennessee and in coaching football. So, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll see him more going forward, and based on where he goes on his next job. But it's always welcome here to come and watch practice.
Nick and Arden, when they were up here, used the exact phrase "we owe them," meaning the Colts. Is that just kind of a consensus within the locker room? Was that a message you gave them yesterday or this morning? And can you tap into that at all this week as you prepare?
No, I don't think I can remember saying that we owe them. I mean, we have to come back and win a game in the division at home in Indy, you know, against Indy. So, yeah, I mean, I don't see there being, you know, anything owed. Like, they beat us. We didn't make enough plays. They, you know, played better than we did that day. And, you know, there'll be some things that we'll have to fix. And I'm confident that, you know, we'll be ready and we'll be prepared and we'll play hard.
Imagine training in protocol. Are you hopeful that he can take another step in getting back on the
field? I'm hopeful for a lot of things, Jim, but I'll just wait, you know, and see whenever the player, in this particular case, Traylon, clears the protocol, then we'll practice with them, no different than if that was anybody else, or hopeful that we get all our players back that aren't playing right now. So whatever that is, that's what it'll be. And that's all I can say, just because of that's how you're supposed to operate within the protocol.
Sean, come out of it all right?
Yeah, I would again, I want to reserve the full diagnosis until I've had a chance to talk to Todd, but everything coming out of that game last night or yesterday afternoon was positive as far as how he was able to make it through.
Noticed you chatting with Trace Atkins before the game. You spent much time around him. Did you realize he's that big, and you think he's a football fan?
Well, I know he's a football fan. He is. He's a good man. Had a chance to meet him before. Good old deep voice, and yeah, he's a lunch pail guy. So I didn't even dawn on me that he was singing the national anthem until I walked out there. So had a chance to catch up with him.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Trace.
Trace Atkins.
Nobody gives a damn about asking the question about Trey Atkins. Great performer, great, you know, musician, but why?
Unless he's right. That Mike Vrabel wants his way out of Tennessee. Exactly. We're asking him, Trace Atkins.
Goodness. But, I mean, I'm sure he's going to write a snippet about Vrabel and Trey Atkins meeting up. I get that. But depressing questions.
I want to report on Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon.
Yes.
No disrespect to Trace Atkins, fan of the show. Hey, Trace. Absolutely. Trace, thanks for listening.
Look, I can tell you right now, I believe Mike Vrabel's walking down the hallway back to his office going, I can't believe they didn't ask it. I can't believe they didn't ask it.
I'm sure they're thinking, man, we prepped for this.
I'm sure he was maybe
Wednesday.
Maybe Wednesday.
Wednesday's the Colts. Wednesday, we're on to Indianapolis.
I know.
Yeah, he could play that card at that point.
Yeah.
If he really is going to be Bill Belichick's predecessor.
I have no idea.
Go ahead and start.
But nobody chose to breach that question with Vrabel. And I was surprised. Maybe those that were in the room didn't think it was, newsworthy to ask. I don't know. And then sometimes I guess you just want to go with the flow of the questions that are being asked. You don't want to be that, sore thumb that comes out of, hey, what about the article of you and Rand not getting along?
After but see, everybody it's a, asks it's a everything good, about that's why the, it's a good day to ask it because they're coming off of a win.
A win, yeah.
And you could just say, look,
but
what
I'm
do you
not
think?
A journalist, so I can't sit here and say what questions they need to ask or not. So.
And to all of the people who are probably thinking and listening to us in their cars or wherever and thinking, well, they're not going to ask it because what do you expect Mike Vrabel to say? I don't know. That's not my job. That's Mike Vrabel's job to address that in whichever manner he would like to address it. That's Mike Vrabel's job to respond to any of these reports that may have come out, to either squash the reports or that it's not my decision. It's not my job to say how Mike Vrabel should or should not respond to a question. I think that's the biggest story in town. That's the biggest story surrounding this team right now is the reports that either Mike Vrabel is, set in stone as the future head coach of this franchise, or, of course, the report from Greg Bedard saying that Vrabel's trying to force his way out of Tennessee. That's pretty juicy stuff. I'm shocked that it was not asked. But we will continue the conversation coming up next. We'll get back into the Dan Orsini and Greg Bedard reports. But we did have a Titans game yesterday. Mm-hmm. A recap of the game yesterday, our takeaways, and really how much are we taking away from a win against the worst team in the NFL. We'll get into that coming up next, and your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
Story-wise, you guys are at home 24 points on the road. Is like 11. Is there anything that you could put your finger on to say, like, why it's so different offensively?
I don't want to sit here and say that we've played good defenses, but I know that, that's probably part of it. We have, I think, played good defenses. You look at the, where the Saints were week one, and, I felt like that was a good defense. And, Pittsburgh on the road, see the type of defense that they play, and that's probably – being realistic. We know that we have to be better right now. We're focused on, being better at home because that's where our next game is. And then, attacking those things and just the details and just how critical just a few things are when you're on the road and the noise and, getting off on the snap count and all those different things that attribute to that. But right now our focus is, preparing to win a division game at home.
That was Mike Vrabel, who spoke with the media. Caroline Willie, D. Mace. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Teddy's Tavern this Sunday from 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. for our NFL pregame show. They'll break down the Titans' Week 13 matchup against the Colts and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Beast Unleashed. We'll get back into the Diana Rossini and Greg Bedard reports, but let's break down what we saw on the field yesterday. The Titans take down the Carolina Panthers 17-10. How much can we take away from this game, really? Because the defense looked better, but also that's a really bad offense and a really bad offensive line. Carolina ranks statistically at the bottom of the league in nearly every single offensive category. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the offensive line looked like they held their own pretty well yesterday, but how much of that was you're playing the Carolina Panthers. I don't think that there's really anything that I saw yesterday that dramatically shifts my thoughts on this team one way or another.
Was there any news coming out of Carolina this morning?
The news.
Was there any? It's interesting. Did the Panthers have anything to report today?
That they parted ways with Frank Reich.
Yes. Okay.
Congratulations. After, you are now the team that when you lose year, to them, right? Your coach gets fired.
He's only been there for a year, not even a year.
This was game 11 for Frank Reich.
There's something to be said. Just getting the winning feeling. Mm-hmm. It's got to give you a little bit of confidence, especially for some of the guys that are just trying to inch forward, build a little traction, like Daniels, mm-hmm. right? The left tackle, you know.
Duncan.
I'm sorry. Jalen Duncan. Trying to throw him in there, see if he can, you know, it's like you throw him out in the deep end, mm-hmm. see if the guy can swim. You really have no other option right now. And they got a win. And he wasn't overwhelmed. Mm-mm. But yet, in the big picture here, that might have been the only team that they could have beaten yesterday. They didn't have to do anything mm-hmm. on offense. They finally got a turnover that they turned into a touchdown. Mm-hmm. That might have been the game. If that's a punt fest back and forth, it probably goes down to the last couple possessions. Still went down to the last possession. But it was basically, let's not turn it over. We don't think that the Panthers can score. Mm-hmm. The Panthers really shouldn't have scored. I mean, the one touchdown that drive they had, they kept the drive alive but two or three times with penalties on third and long that had nothing to do with the play, way away from where the play went.
It was, what, a third and 19?
On one of them, yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't – that was a pathetic team that's going nowhere. So you beat them, and it wasn't easy.
And fourth and six, game on the line, mm-hmm. and as we have now learned, job on the line. Mm-hmm. That's the best play you can draw up. That is play, a screen pass short of the sticks.
I couldn't believe the play call. I really couldn't, because now you essentially, with that play, you take away your quarterback from potentially making a play with his legs for you. I did not understand that play.
It was what, a minute and a half left in the game? Carolina absolutely could have gone down the field and scored had they been able to convert. Right.
Yeah. Exactly. So, but, you know, this one, it was a snooze fest. It really was.
It was not fun to watch.
What did Adam Amin say? If you're watching this game, you must really love football.
And he has a point there, because you contrast that to the Jacksonville and Houston game that was on the other channel. And that game was full-fledged. They were into it. The announcers were into it. It turned out to be a really good game at the end. But the Titans game was basically indicative of the weather. That's just how it was. The weather was gloomy. The Titans game was gloomy. You know, there were some positives in there. Jalen Duncan, I believe, you know, like I said earlier, he did a good job. He held his own. I think that's, regardless of who it is in front of you, I think it's a momentum. It's like a momentum builder for that individual,
like
person.
Like a Conquo. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
Strung together a couple catches. Okay.
I don't care who it's against. Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't care who it's against. Exactly.
A-okay
with me. As long as you don't drop the ball, you can catch it and fall down. I said, I don't care. You can gain 2 yards. Just catch the ball.
And that's where we're at, though.
Yeah, that's where we're at with Chig. And that's unfortunate. But, and you know, Vrabel was asked about Chig, and was this a good game for him to kind of build his confidence up on the catches and whatnot. But I think this was a confident sort of builder as well for Jalen Duncan. Again, he wasn't going against the Cleveland Browns or, you know, New Orleans Saints or one of these, the San Francisco 49ers, one of these really good defenses. But you're asking a rookie to come in and play a position after you went through these musical chairs with everybody else, and you're asking him to play a position, and he needs to play it at a high level right away. I think they did a good job at communicating. He and Peter Skoronski, I think he did a good job at holding on to his blocks. There were a few times where he didn't. I think he held his own at protecting Will Levis. Again, there were, you know, one or two instances where he got pushed back. He got beat on the sack. But those are things that are going to happen as a rookie. You just hope now as he moves forward, he builds on that, gains that confidence, say, okay, listen, I can play in this league. So that was one of the bright spots. Derrick Henry was a bright spot. He got going a few times. you know, in the run game, but you can contribute that to the offensive line doing their job as well. It was good to see Chig involved in the game. You know, Will Levis did some good things. He missed – I don't know if he missed D-Hop on that crossing route, or I think what he saw was the safety near the – you know, saw the safety I don't think you can see on television, because all you saw on television was the pass behind D-Hop. But the safety is out there, and I think he was trying to slow D-Hop down. D-Hop may not have saw that safety come down, and that could have been potentially, you know, a interception-worthy throw. He had two of
which
those.
Which he had a couple.
Yeah, he had two of them that last game.
Like three or four yesterday.
Yeah, I know two that were, like, blatant, you know, NFL, INT-worthy throws.
Like, if that's not the Panthers, that's probably picked up.
Yeah. But I think that pass to D-Hop, I think he saw the safety coming down. He wanted to slow D-Hop down.
So, D-Base, what did you think? There was another one that the TV replay showed where D-Hop busts wide open. He's calling for the ball.
Yeah, I saw
that. And Levis threw intermediate.
But this here, okay.
But like you say all the time, sometimes that doesn't tell you the whole story.
It doesn't, because I think sometimes the play is designed to go on the other side, and you're anticipating a certain defense, and it seems like they're giving you that look, and you may on that single side. I think he was singled up, or it might have been another individual, another receiver over there. I think it was 2x2. He's not your primary guy. He's like third in the progression, maybe even fourth. So you're going through your progressions, and you're, because it was third and what? Third and six, somewhere around there?
Yeah.
It was third and medium.
You're trying to pick up the
first
down.
Yeah, it wasn't third and 10 or third and 12. So you're trying to pick up the first down quickly. I don't think he ever saw D-Hop until he had already – determine where he was going to throw it as he was releasing the ball. Yeah, D-Hop did come wide open. The safety did rotate out of the middle of the field. But you can't always blame that on the quarterback, because his eyes are over here, because that's the primary side.
And all of us on TV are going, oh, my God, why throw it? Throw it.
You know how many guys in a game, you know, run after sort of the play or after he's determined? How many guys are wide open running down the opposite side of the field? It happens more times than not.
And there were,
it's harder to see the entire field the entire time than you might think.
And there was one instance. It was third and eight, where Chig was wide open, and then Will Levis elected to hit Chris Moore deep in double coverage. So that's one of those situations where you can take the check down, but I think the difference here was Chris Moore was in double coverage. D-Hop in that instance looked at least to be wide open.
He came open a little later. Eddie come open, bam, right now. But it was a post route, so he's not going to come open immediately. But if it was a situation where the guy was pressed, because the guy was off. He was playing off coverage. If he's pressed, then I think Will Levis' mind, I think Will Levis' brain goes to the press coverage with D-Hop one-on-one. I'm taking that every time. So he would have then looked. But he saw the guy off. He saw coverage. So he's like, okay, in this coverage, this is what I need to read. And he read it the way, you know, he probably read it in practice.
What did you make of the Spears play? Where he just got blown up. I'm sure as a receiver, you absolutely despise plays like that, because safety is just, you know, foaming at the mouth.
You can't leave your receiver out to dry. You can't hang him out to dry like that. That was a pop fly, and luckily, you know, he didn't get. If that was football 10 years ago, he'd have got straight ran through, and it wouldn't have been a penalty at all. But you could see the defender sort of, he didn't go at him full-fledged. He sort of kind of went at him with his chest and hit him. I don't know. Did they pick up the flag on that one?
They picked up the flag on that and an earlier flag that they threw.
Yeah, the
where
pick.
Hopkins was.
Yeah, they called it. Because he was at the line of scrimmage, it's not considered a pick. So they picked both of them up. That's sort of like, I'm glad they went, the refs conversated about it. Gathered up about it, because you look at that play and it's like, what else is the defender supposed to do? Let him catch it? Then, you know, because
then gently tackle.
Exactly. That's a play. It's a bang bang play.
Hello.
He didn't launch. He didn't go in, you know, with his helmet or shoulders. He went in more so with his body. And it was just, it was the quarterback's fault. He should have thrown it more on a line to get it to Tajay, but he put a loft on it, which allowed the safety to recover.
It's still a great example, though, of today's game. Because I did wonder about what exactly is a defenseless receiver.
Yeah, you like always wonder what it is.
It's like you said, you can't, if you're the DB, you can't just let him catch the ball. Yeah. But that was sort of where he was. He did launch up high. He didn't hit him in the head.
Yeah.
He hit him in the shoulder. But you could argue that he's defenseless. And he's defenseless because the ball's floated up there and he's hanging out to dry. That used to be what you just can't do.
Oh, no.
But now.
Now you can.
The quarterback will throw it like that.
Exactly.
He'll intentionally underthrow it.
Yeah.
And sort of hang the guy out to dry in some cases to try to get the PI, which works half the time.
It does work half the time. But do you think it should have been a penalty?
No, I don't. And I don't think – I wanted them to show Vrabel and see what his demeanor was.
Because we saw Derrick Henry.
Yeah, Derrick Henry
– chirping right, he went, at he the Carolina really, sideline. Yeah. He was pissed.
And I
think he was mad because the guy was yelling at the official and going, looking at the jumbo Spears was down. Uh-huh. Like, at that point, you weren't sure if Spears was okay.
Absolutely.
He's looking after his guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you expected him. But then when you go back and watch the film, that's something that you want your player to be able to do. You know, you can't – that's why I wanted them to show Vrabel and see what his demeanor was on that particular play after he watched it on the replay.
Especially as a defensive player. Exactly,
yeah, because it's like, what am I supposed to do? Like, as a defensive player, what are you supposed to do? He did the right thing by not launching, not leading with his helmet. He came in sort of like with his chest, and it was a bang-bang play. Those plays, I believe, are allowed. Now, some refs, as soon as they hear pow, they're going to throw the flag. And it's not even –
yeah, it's
that
like
egregious.
Second nature now. Yeah. It's like, oh, that's a flag.
Exactly.
He's
that's
defenses.
A flag no matter what. Yeah. He's defenseless. But I think in that situation, you got to go back and allow it to, you know, just allow the play. I think that's one play that should be reviewed. You should have the capability to review if you called it.
Yeah. Kind of like the college.
Exactly.
Where they can review it.
Yes, where you can review it. That's a play. Because a lot of times you see those things that are going so fast. Oh, I got to throw the flag. But then you go back. And you look at him like, wow, that wasn't, you know, unnecessary roughness.
Right.
You know, that was just a clean hit. So
that's one that I think is incredibly tricky. And the NFL is now in this gray area of, 10, 15 years ago, that would have been on SportsCenter Top 10. But it's also not football of 10 to 15 years ago. No. And there's certain hits and tackles that the NFL wants to take away from the game to eliminate those injuries. But also on the other side of it, it's the same thing of what do you expect him to do?
Yeah.
You're playing football at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to just play flag football, we can do that. We can have a totally different discussion. So it was one of those that could you have kept it as a, you know, a hit on a defensive receiver or an unnecessary roughness? Sure. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I don't think that I really would have disagreed with it. I also didn't really disagree with him picking up the flag.
Yeah, it was what it was.
I'm glad Tajay Spears is okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bang, bang, play. So.
Let's continue it coming up next. Continue our evaluation of Will Levis coming up next because there are some throws in there that I think Will Levis would have liked to have had back. So our evaluation of what we saw from Will Levis yesterday, your evaluation of what you saw from Will Levis and the Titans yesterday, 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you have a thought. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 1025-1063, the game.
There's nothing better than game reps for rookies. How do you feel like Will's done so far through 5 weeks in regards to taking what he learned from one Sunday into the following week?
Well, I think he continues to improve. I think there's some snaps. I think we, you know, decisions and being able to see some things that come open or pop. And but I felt like, you know, I mean, early in the game, pretty efficient and, you know, got the ball out of his hand and, you know, found some matchups that he liked. I thought that, you know, got us going early there with Hop and, you know, the patience there to wait him out and the accuracy. You know, just making sure that we're not putting the ball in harm's way. You know, a couple of layered throws. I'd like to see a better, you know, better football to Tajay. You know, we can't leave that much air underneath it and put him in harm and put the ball in harm.
Now, that's the ball that we were just discussing from Will Levis. One area that looked like a rookie mistake that you cannot leave your receiver hanging out to dry like that. Like we saw yesterday with Tajay Spears when he got blown up by Carolina safety Xavier Woods. But that was Mike Vrabel's quick evaluation of Will Levis, what we saw from him yesterday. And this is something that we were just kind of discussing at the break. the bigger and bigger sample size we get of Will Levis week over week, the more we're starting to see some of those rookie mistakes come to fruition. I thought that first touchdown drive was great. I thought Will Levis was great. I thought Derrick Henry was great. I thought that the quick pass to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine to get into field goal range before the half.
Yeah, that was well done.
That was very well done, very well executed, well orchestrated. But there were
And Nick Folk hits another 50-plus yard field goal. Jared?
Nick Folk
Jared,
does it again.
Did you notice?
Strong
I'm sure
leg.
You did.
Strong leg.
And Stonehouse.
Yes.
Between those two is special teams. Yeah. I mean, they've got punter of the year, which might be kind of depressing when one of your highlights is your punter. But still, hey. But some passes yesterday that I saw, I counted between 3 and 4 balls that Will Levis threw yesterday that I thought could have been picked.
Yeah. Interception-worthy throws.
Yes.
Which there is a stat for some analytics sites that you see that.
Sure. And, you know, it seems like, and this is where I think Will has to get better. Because this is not the only game that he's had at least two interception-worthy throws. Even in the first game, he started, I think he had one or two. But after that game, he's had at least two interception-worthy throws, and that's where he needs to get better. I know sometimes he trusts, and he's going to have to figure out when to trust his arm and when not. When do I need to try to make that throw and when don't I? You know, and he will hopefully learn that the more games he play. But, you know, the pass that they tried to hit to D-Hop on a third and six, D-Hop ran a little. There was 3-by-1. D-Hop ran a little, I call it a sit route, right at the sticks. And the linebacker read it perfectly. Luckily, that was an interception because at the time, the game was 14-10, I believe, or was it 17-10 already? And if you get that interception, it may change the whole scope of the game because it would have been in your territory.
Just how the turnover that you forced completely
changed the game for you. Actually, it won you the game.
It won you the game.
You know, because you essentially that was the go-ahead touchdown. And then the screenplay was a interception-worthy throw.
Boy,
yeah, that was just – I mean, plays like that, I think you just have to dirt it.
Ryan Tannehill probably was thinking back to the Bengals game. Could that ball have – I mean, why couldn't I get the ball to drop to the turf like
exactly,
that?
Exactly.
Because remember, that one near the – you know, when the ball's deflected up in the air like that, it is complete chance of where it goes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So, and then I would say the way he threw the Tajay Spears pass – if you are going up against a better secondary, that may be intercepted as well. But you got away with it. So to me, that's three. And you guys may have more. Guys and girls may have more. Mm-hmm. But those are the three that I saw as interception worthy that didn't get intercepted.
At the half, I really liked how the game was going for the offense. You know, they cashed it in the red zone a couple of times. Their confidence looks up. They ran the 2-minute drill. Mm-hmm. The second half was a little baffling to me. Like, they had a couple of drive starters where he throws a dart. And you're like, yeah, okay, momentum, here we go. 3 and out right after that. It was like they abruptly ended drives, and it ended up being okay because Carolina just couldn't score. They had the lead, so they just sort of had the luxury of not having to score the entire second half. But I would have loved to have seen one or two more scoring drives to cap off a good game. But he's having moments where he makes some throws where I'm like, yeah, I really like what I'm seeing here. I like his demeanor. I like his enthusiasm. I think the team likes him. And there's going to be some growing. I wonder about this, too. Now, the more he plays, the more I think defensive coordinators see what he does well. And so I think he's in that process now of, okay, the defense knows I can make this throw. These are the plays that I like. Now they're trying to take those away or make it tougher. Do I have that next wrinkle that I can work off of that? I think that's part of the process here too.
And I think there's a rookie tendency, a quarterback tendency in general, when you're under pressure of maybe eyeing a receiver down. I think that was maybe his issue yesterday with that throw to D-Hop on the sideline, where, like you mentioned, D-Mace, the linebacker just read it perfectly. perfectly. And I think the more sample size you get of Will Levis, the more you start to see, the more that I've noticed, that DeAndre Hopkins is a security blanket, which is something that we've talked about a lot of why you keep a guy like D-Hop, because a veteran receiver that seems to catch nearly every single ball that comes his way is a rookie quarterback, a young quarterback's best friend. But then you start to see the other side of that, of when you, maybe those throws are precalculated. I think Will Levis is really, really talented with escaping pressure, being able to step up to avoid pressure and still continue to make those plays. But the other one that I thought could have been intercepted was that long ball to Chris Moore that he threw into double coverage. That maybe if that's a different secondary, maybe if that's a little bit more of a heads up from the corner, that ball could have been picked. The second half offense was a concern to me. This is the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
You can muster up 17 points at home.
Go in for the kill and put them away. That would have been a nice thing.
It seemed like they reverted back to last season when they had their second half woes, and they just couldn't, for whatever reason, they couldn't get anything going. Because again, I think the offensive line did an okay job. It wasn't great, but it wasn't like we've seen in previous weeks, especially last week. I thought they gave them enough time so they can do some things in the passing game that they wanted to do, but it just seemed like they were never in sync as a unit.
And the offensive line penalties.
Yeah, that you can't really have, yeah.
You can't
false
have
starts
that.
And all that. You can't
false starts
have,
at home?
At home.
Yeah, at home. You can't beat yourself before you get the play going. And that's what they did a few times. So, you know, they got to figure this out. Because now, you know, we hung our hat on them being able to score 20-something points a game at home. Well, against a bad Carolina team, you couldn't score nothing but really – as an offense, if the defense doesn't put you in a position really to score, you only score 10 points. And I get it. Hey, listen, it's all a part of the game. I get it.
Right.
But they never seemed like in that second half they were in sync.
Right. Once again, isn't it nice that they were – Mike Vrabel had to be loving it. We're actually leading. We don't have to score. Like the last couple
we can
of,
run the ball.
Yeah. We can keep giving it to Derrick Henry. And unfortunately, they didn't knock the trees down. I think they were hoping, okay, just, you know, keep running it, occasional pass, and then boom, we're going to hit a big one here, and we're going to put them away. They never did that. But because they're playing the Panthers, they still get a W. Whereas contrast that to the two games down in Florida, where they're behind, can't get anything going, have to throw. So this game on Sunday, to me, is going to be interesting. I feel like they're due to play a really close game. This would be a good gauge. The Colts are favored by 2.5 points in a stadium where the Titans are 4-0. And the Colts have, obviously, Gardner Minshew playing. They're not a great team. But they beat the Bucs last week. The Colts have overachieved. They got to be pretty happy with how their season's gone.
And they beat you earlier this season. They beat you the way that you want to win football games, running the ball, playing good defense.
I think this will be a good gauge because the Colts are not a powerhouse, but they're feeling good about themselves. They're still kind of hanging on to hopes of making something happen this year. Can the Titans be a little bit of the spoiler? I think this will be a good test because the Panthers, they're checked out. Like, just fired their coach. You could feel that. You know, they didn't put up much of a fight. I don't think you can really gauge much from this game, if you're the Titans.
I think we will be able
to gauge something on Sunday.
I would agree. We'll see what TD's thoughts are on that, what he saw from the Titans and Will Levis yesterday. Also, TD's thoughts, what he has heard from the Diana Rossini reports, from the Greg Bedard report in the Boston Sports Journal. We'll chat with TD Jerron Davenport coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.